it's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 15th of May. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by Island, the stockist of Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local gifts, art and clothing. You'll find them in Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On Saturday the 15th of May, Sharon Brown talked to Greg Minter from Secret Knock. She talked to Roger Bryant, Danielle Fillon from The French Club, Millie Watkins and music promoter Graham Hooper.
So, Greg, how's it going?
Excellent, excellent. How's the morning?
Yeah, good, good. Now that I've got the whole system set up and working, I think it should be plain sailing from now on.
I think we actually blew up Turkmenistan. I think we launched a couple missiles there earlier, so sorry, Turkmenistan.
Oh, right. Was that today?
Yeah, just a minute ago. I think when you hit that last button.
Right. Yeah, that's what it felt like. Okay, good. So tell us, what kind of music are you playing today?
Well, Secret Knock with my partner in crime, Manuel Cajura, and I were jamming today at the Waiheke Library, and it's all original music, just the electric bass and the drums.
Lovely, good. And are you singing as well, or it's instrumental?
I've been banned from singing, and it's a New Zealand ongoing case. I'm taking it to the highest court because I just don't think I can keep these pipes down.
Right, okay. So something might slip out.
I think
people
it already
will
has.
Be running. I mean, people running from the library area. Okay.
Oh goodness. So. No singing. It's instrumental music.
Okay.
We just combined a bunch of different stuff. It's odd time. It's some grooves.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Good. And do you play on the island and other places as well?
Yeah. We've done. It was funny in the Gulf News. God bless them. They mentioned that Manuel and I were popular on the wedding circuit, so we got a good laugh out of that. We've actually only done a party, I think, here and there for the wedding, but the Sunday Jam at the Rocks, hosted by Mano Pratt, is a good ongoing gig for the island. Good scene.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, it sounds like a lovely scene, and it seems to be attracting more and more professional artists. I don't know necessarily about people who are getting paid, but people who understand music professionally and are quite talented.
Yeah, in fact, Graham Hooper is out and about today, and Graham is sponsoring a gig tonight at the Rocks with Tenement Yard. And I believe those guys might try to make an appearance tomorrow at the Jam.
Right, so do you know much about Tenement Yard? Because we have two free tickets. They stopped in earlier today and gave us two free tickets. So anyone who wants a free ticket to Tenement Yard can stop in at the radio and we will give it to them, like that.
It's going to be an awesome gig.
Right, and so what kind of music is it?
It's reggae, ska, good old vibe that we dig on the island here.
And I see they're supported by the Hauraki Viento Norte band. So Viento Norte, a whole bunch of very, very cute and very young Latino boys, from what I can gather. And
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah.
Now they're great guys, man. They've jammed at the gig a few times, and they're all very good guys, good musicians. I don't know if they're. I think they might be going to the South Island soon for a little sightseeing.
But oh, really?
Yeah. No, they're good guys, and they jam well.
And then the other interesting event is on Sunday, the Jam. There's also a Samoan. I didn't catch his name, but there's a Samoan reggae player. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. But again, the man of all talents, Graham Hooper, I'm sure has some information on that. There's a great picture of him, and of course his dreads are famous for going along the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have dreads too, but again, I have some various lawsuits in various countries throughout Central Asia that forces me to shave my head every day.
Okay, fair enough. And here we go. Yeah, his Al Rasta.
Ah,
is his name.
Yeah.
And they're playing tomorrow night at the Sunday Jam. So that's another.
Very cool. Very cool. That's right. That's exactly right. So wonderful, Sharon.
So does that mean you might get a chance to jam together, or how does that work?
I would love that. You know, you show up and you just every week is different, and but it's all good. Whatever combination happens furthers music and furthers the vibe, so it's all good.
No, what a good venue.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's great. I mean, I always think it's a shame that New Zealand Music Month is only a month long, because you know, of course it's New Zealand music, but it's also people who live in New Zealand getting the opportunity to play and people coming out. And then there's a kind of more emphasis on free events that people can just enjoy during the day.
Well, and I think as with everything in New Zealand, you have this wonderful confluence of cultures and people. I mean, myself, I'm an American. I've met people from around the world. You yourself are from the UK. So it's really a much more of a melting pot than America itself, I think, in that the community-based structure allows us to support each other.
So tell us, what brought you to New Zealand? And tell us about your band in the States. You've come from another band?
Yeah. I lived pretty much my adult life in San Francisco, and you know, I'm 46 now, and I can't wait to live another 46, if not more. And you know, I just figured the time was right to change my life. And I'd been to New Zealand a couple times previously, and once with my partner, Joanne, and a couple times doing some tramping. So 100 reasons. It was time, and I was ready for a change, and what better place to come.
Oh, no, lovely, good.
But yeah, my mates back in the States, Ira Levin and Josh Gary, guys, love ya. They form a Comfy Chair, which was our band back in San Francisco. And we formed a record company called Flaming Pie Productions, and we released 3 albums. And so today I have a copy of our 3rd album, which is called Hello, Dolly.
Great, and, lovely. And so we'll be hearing some of that this morning. Is there a track that you'd like to put on for us now?
Yeah, I think what's appropriate is track number 2, Shirin, Cheer Up.
Great.
Well, also, May Breeze is a lovely ditty.
Okay, well, I'll put that on a bit later. So thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Greg and Manuel are playing at 11 o'clock as Secret Knock, instrumental music outside the library. Please come and support them and get some library books at the same time.
And may I just add, I think we're actually inside.
Oh, are you?
Yeah,
oh, okay,
I think the weather is going to be a bit hit and miss today, so I think they're having us inside, but that'll give me a chance to catch up on my Dr. Seuss.
Lovely. Great. Good. Okay, well, thanks very much. And now we're going to listen to Cheer Up. So can you just hit that play button?
Okay, now if I launch another missile, now it's going to be track 2, my friend. So what are we doing here? That's the one. All right.
I sentence you to be hanged by the neck until you cheer up.
Got laid off today. Police towed your car away. Rent is due, you got bills to pay. Your silver lining just turned gray. Your dog is dead, your cat's got fleas. Love just gave you some dis-ease. Pray to God down on your knees. He said no dice, son, you didn't say please.
Cheer up, it could be worse. You could be riding in the back of the hearse. Okay, so your bubble was burst, but you're still alive, still alive. Hell's a luxury hotel. Even that is only a myth. It's all in your mind.
Got some bad reviews. Do a backflip and a bottle of booze. Play postal worker or pay more dues. Something about a who's a choose? Choice to make, give or take. Walk like a man or crawl like a snake. Old man in trouble can jump in the rain. Blues need bread, so let them eat cake.
Cheer up, it could be worse. You could be saddled with the mummy's curse.
Hey,
okay,
yeah.
They just stole your purse, but you still got time, still got time.
Yeah, get up, you might as well.
Don't forget.
should. Starting to think old job had it good. Elevator's going down. Elevator going down. Cheer up, it could be worse. Oh, could be nailed up, dying of thirst. Hey, if you're out and you're shown on the first, that ain't no job, ain't no job. Jerk it off, you might as well. After this, even hell's like ringing a bell. Even that is only a myth.
Now I've got Roger Bryant in the studio with me, and he's a member of the Waiheke Island Community Planning Group, which always has our back, I think, to make sure that decisions that are made in Auckland have a positive outcome for people living on the island. So at the moment, Roger, hi.
Good morning.
So you're dealing with the Auckland Social Policy Forum. So can you tell us about what that's all about?
Very, very difficult. It's something which has been going on for quite some time, and it was originally came through from work on the Royal Commission papers. They produced some stuff on it, and the government, when Mr. Hyde and co took over, conveniently seemed to forget about the social life of our citizens. So this eventually came up. There was there'd been various workshops and things, and the Minister of Development, under Paula Bennett, issued a discussion document on the Social Policy Forum, and they've asked for feedback, which is due by Friday, on this. And I've been trying to put together a submission on behalf of the planning group so that we can have a say about what we want on the island, rather than what the politicians and the police and the education and all these top people have got to say. And it is really up to us. And what has come out from several conversations I've had around the place is that we are perfectly capable of doing our own things, and we don't need the type of governance that is in our social policy, which is very reminiscent of what's going on in the council-controlled organisations.
Right. Okay. So, can you tell us what kinds of things are covered in this document? You know, what kinds of, because you know, social policy sounds really dry, and it actually does sound like rules and regulations. So, what kinds of things do you mean when you talk about our well-being?
Well, it varies down. I've been working on a paper called "People and Places" on Waiheke, and it's based actually on the Waikos thing down there, on their booklet thing.
Sorry, who are Waikos?
Waikos is the Waiheke Council of Social Services, and they are the one group around on the island which has been getting people together, and it is something which we can base our work on. Their booklet gives a fair sort of indication of this, you know, the health services, educational services. We've got the recreation, arts, active sports, a lot of these things, service organisations, and mostly the places where there's been volunteers in the past. And as I said before, you know, basically the way this thing's set up, it's set up for people with who want to work in the social field.
Right. And you're saying that because our social services and social networks are very volunteer-based, that there should be more on that within the policy document?
I think there's a case for working in with, you've got to have the experts in there, and you've got to have the people working in there, but it's really got to work down, you know, from, it's got to come from the people up, because that's where the problems are.
Mm.
And I don't think people sitting in sort of highfalutin offices, you know, have any understanding at all of what does go on.
So what are the specific challenges that Waiheke faces or has that need to be addressed by a social policy document?
Well, the type of thing is to make sure that the lines of communication are there. Very often, it's, as I say, at the moment, it's something which is coming down from the top levels, and into the people, and then it's you know, as I say, the people are not being heard, and there's no two-way communication under the present system. And with a new system coming in, obviously you take advantage of it so you can make something work.
Mm.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Right. And what specific challenges do you think people here face? I know housing is, you're also in grey power. Is that a challenge that people have?
I think that's come into it. I have got some stuff on the housing problems around the place. It certainly comes out in the way people look at the island. We do have certain problems with the housing because a lot of it's geared to the visitor trade and stuff like that. And then it's the good views and everything else like that, the holiday house and everything else like that. And there is very little concern about the people who do the ordinary day-to-day jobs and keep things going, you know, your grass cutters and electricians and all these sort of people. And also I found a lot from professional people. We've had things from ambulance drivers and teachers and all people like that. And there is a problem getting these people down here on the island because the cost of housing is so big.
Right, so what we're saying is that one of the challenges that face us is that you either have homes at the high end, or that you know there aren't that many houses for sale on the island, perhaps, and so the median price is quite high, and so people on lower incomes can't afford to buy here or live here.
Well, yeah, that's the way it's coming out. I mean, there's a great big amount of stuff worldwide on the balance of equity in around the place, and the oft-quoted spirit level. The spirit level is just a really good guide, you know, on exactly what is there.
Sorry, what's the spirit level?
The spirit level is it's a book which goes into the social equity of groups. And I know the lady's name is Wilkinson. It's done by somebody else, but it really does show the thing down. And it's sort of mostly been reduced to like a mathematical formula for it. But there are serious concerns, you know, that the basically that there are people, you know, who've got more advantages than others, you know, and you need a balanced community to make it work.
Mm. So one of the issues around housing is perhaps that, you know, if you can't afford to live on the island, then you haven't got a diverse enough community. I mean, what I notice is that if you get on the 8 o'clock ferry, there are a lot of people coming off and early if the ferry... off the ferry from town, and a lot of them are builders, labourers, coming in to work on Waiheke and then going back in the evening, and that seems a bit silly. I also noticed that a lot of the vineyards actually seem to provide accommodation to their seasonal workers, because otherwise it's very difficult for them to live on the island.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you see busloads of them coming across, you know, and things like that. I mean... Okay, years ago, when there was some farms down here, you know, they had shearing sheds and they had shearers' quarters and stuff like that, and they were, people used to come down, you know, and would stay and use them, you know, for those sort of set purposes. But now everything's got so commercialised, and so many people think that the island owes them a living, you know, and they're really just sort of looking after their own. Their own ends.
Mm. I mean, I'm always quite concerned with the ferries and the price of ferries, because I think it makes it really difficult for people who are trying to work. If there's not enough work on the island, they need to work in town, but you can't claim back the costs of travel against your work. So it means that it makes it really, really expensive for people to actually go and seek work and do the job and make it worthwhile.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, there's an issue around social policy where you're forcing people into a dependency situation, because although they would like to work, they actually can't afford, I mean, you know, for example, you know, in terms of paying childcare or paying for the travel across, they can't afford to look for work and they can't afford to do the work, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really the whole thing. I mean, the ferry fares went up, and the recent argument which is put against it, with a lot of these people going on about you know, the senior citizens on the Gold Card travel, And you've got the sort of thing coming on that that everybody thinks, you know, they're paying too much on the two Waiheke ferries, you know, the Fullers and those, you know, for these people. Whereas in fact, if you go back, I mean, you were at some of those early meetings where the on the Ferry Fares campaign, and that one was added in, and particularly by Mike Lee, because the no subsidy on the Waiheke ferries, so they gave an extra bit for the pensioners. Then all of a sudden, they found out that some little fellow down in Wellington finds out that they're spending too much money on this. So instead of sort of looking at where the money goes, the pensioners have come in for a bad name, and they've been really, really good for this island. People coming over are really great. They're the type of people, you know, who really do appreciate it. They'll stop and talk and everything else like that. And then, you know, yeah, it's been terrific. But the way in which it's been legislated out and everything else like that, it just really sucks.
Mm. Has it been legislated out?
Well, I mean, you've obviously got some science down in Wellington has made a report, you know, saying that this is what happens and this is feasible, that we'll give 17 million on this and it's all right for this, that and the next thing. When their report has gone wrong, you know, they blame the people that are using it.
So what's your feeling? Because I think it would be a terrible loss to the community to not have the gold card. The people who live on the island who really need to go into town to not be sort of stranded on an island, you know, to see family, to get to the hospital, to have some sort of wider cultural perspective. And they wouldn't necessarily be able to afford to get off on a pensioner's income.
Yep.
However, what are your thoughts around making that available to all pensioners to be able to come over here and use the ferries? Any thoughts on that?
Well, the thing is that it is available to everybody. You know, my brother-in-law in Dargaville, for example, has never used his gold card. So he intends to come down one day on it. You've got people like that. There's thousands and thousands around, you know, who would take advantage of these services. It was the best thing that ever happened to the gold card, was the improvement to people's travel, to old people's travel. That is just one thing.
Mm. Now, there's some debate, though, isn't there? I mean, it's like if you go on holiday, should you not have to pay to go on holiday? So that if you choose to, come to Waiheke for the weekend, why shouldn't you have to pay for that?
Oh, yeah, you do in a way, but that was the way it was set up. And, you know, thank you very much. You know, I think people are right to have taken advantage of it.
Yeah. I mean, another argument that I've heard is that, well, you know, people have worked long and hard their whole working lives, and to get a little bit of free travel is not such a drama. Mm. Moreover, the Waiheke community actually benefits a lot from getting people coming over for the day. I notice even the fish and chip shop has a special, super gold special. Yep. You can get a meal and a drink or something for $16, or I don't know, something like that. But I think it's quite good for the local economy to have people coming over.
I think it's just one part of it. You've got to have a balance between, you know, between all the sorts of things, you know, that are going on. And really, you've got to counter on that the sort of dire messages going out at the moment that the budget isn't going to favour people on a set income.
Mm.
And
I think the problem for me is that it just seems that Fullers makes an awful lot of money out of it, and the way they charge the tickets out seems outrageously expensive, and they could maybe, you know, have 10 ticket season passes or, you know, something that would make it a little bit more, you know, affordable to the government.
Oh, yeah, as I say, but I mean, you can't blame Fullers entirely, because they just set up as they were told to do.
Mm. Yeah, oh, no, fair enough.
Because they have taken advantage of it, I must admit.
Because they've also said that the way the tickets are charged, apparently, they have to charge them out as single tickets. Oh, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's set up by this little jerk down in Wellington.
Whom we really love.
Well, we love them all, don't we?
Please don't take the gold card away from us, because we quite like it, so we're sorry we called you a jerk, but we still want the gold card.
I mean, he's not a little jerk, really. I mean, they sent this guy around to
nice,
talk.
Nice, really.
Yeah, they sent this guy around to talk to Grey Power, you know, and he was trying to sell this thing, you know, to, and, you know, that just doesn't work, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, so what other? So we've talked about the ferries. Yeah. We've talked about housing. What other issues are there that, you know, face us particularly on an island in relation to social policy or that might be covered by this?
I think a lot of it is concerned with how we sort of fit into the into Auckland as a whole. Places I've been and people I've talked to over there, we are certainly totally we are a part of the thing down there. We need recognition as for what we are, and this is where the UNESCO Biosphere Project comes in, and we need to build on that. Because that is a very good way of looking towards our future. In the same way, as I say, that we've got to build on WICOS and there. But certainly, the UNESCO Biosphere Reserve is certainly very, very good. And it's certainly a good way of looking at things, you know, from our perspective.
Mm. Why is it so good?
Well, it just sums up our position. And The problem has been that Auckland City Council, in its lack of wisdom, has tried to put the same sort of format on the Onehunga, Zotahoos, Ponsonbys and all, Grey Lynns, and they haven't taken the value of the individual parts of the of the city.
Mm. So so there's the One Auckland referendum that's just closed.
Yep.
Any thoughts on the super city? One brief thought on what might be very good or very bad about it?
I think that they've got the thing, just saying the Our Auckland campaign, just gives a one-word answer. It is a shame that it's come down to that, because there is so much to understand, and I think we've got to get an understanding of what our community is and what the whole thing's about. But the way it's been handled by the press, and even today you've got a whole big section in the middle of the review about what is going on, and it sort of, that's all passe, I know it all, and I've read it all and been involved in all of that, and I've made submissions on all those things. And now you've got this one on the social policy, which seems to be, it's just sort of being left behind, and it really is just tagged on afterwards. And yet it is probably the most important part of the governance issue to us.
Right, so that whole notion of well-being and social and economic well-being.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're interested in contributing to the submission with some thoughts or would like to talk to Roger about this more, you can get him on what's the best way to get hold of you, Roger? Send you an email?
We'll send me an email, preferably, which is on the... it's Judy and Rog, JudynRog, at gmail.com. And if you see me around the place, you can come up and tell me. I have got certain things out and certain documents out, and I've got a draft out. It's gone around certain people, and I'm getting responses on that, which is really good. And as I say, some of them so far, have covered the issues you've been talking about earlier on,
Okay, lovely. Well, thanks very much for coming in. That was Roger Bryant talking about the Social Policy Forum. If you want to make your own submission and you have nothing more pressing to do, they close on Friday. So, and that's with the Ministry of Social Development, is that right?
Yep.
Okay, great. And now I've got Daniel Fillon, who's in the French, who's a founding member of the French Club on Waiheke Island, and she's kindly come in to talk to us today. So Daniel, it's been quite exciting for you in the last couple of weeks. The French ambassador came up from Wellington and gave you an award. Would you like to talk about that?
Oui, bonjour, tout d'abord. Yes, thank you. Hello, everybody. So, yes, I received last week an award from the embassy, from the French Republic, and I was very honored with this and very pleased, of course.
Yes, and it was a fabulous event, and the food was delicious. what is the French Club?
The French Club is a nice thing. It's a team of very, very nice people from different nationalities. There is not a lot of French people because they don't need, of course, to learn the language. But yes, it's a group of people who meet regularly and do interesting things.
Lovely. And so when do they meet and what kinds of interesting things do they do?
So we meet generally once a month on the second Monday of in the morning at 10 o'clock. And we have a monthly meeting. We have also a conversation, lesson, and intermediate. It's a friend of mine who is doing this. It's Julie. She's in charge of this group, and it's also once a month. We have also movies. The first Monday of each month at 7:30 in Artworks. And after that, we are doing different things, for example, pétanque on the beach, or for example, this month we have a soirée with Bœuf Bourguignon, and sometimes we go to Auckland, for example, for an opera or to see something. We travel sometimes even together. We have been to New Caledonia. We have also, we organize French market for Waikiki, but no more now. It's too much work, yes.
It's a huge amount of work, isn't it?
Yes.
And so tell us about this Bœuf Bourguignon night. So that's like a beef stew with lots of yummy things, including wine in it,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, of course, with red wine from Burgundy. Mm. And yes, you have to cook a long time, this thing.
Yes, and the whole house smells of Bœuf Bourguignon.
Yes.
And then it's even in your clothes. It's worse than smoking, isn't it? You have to really be in the mood.
During 1 week.
Yes. Oh dear, but it's worth it because it's such a delicious meal, and you know, I don't mean to put the vegetarians off, but the meat just melts in your mouth. And it's quite an interesting thing. So it's a French club, and there actually aren't that many French people in it. And when I went to the awards ceremony, I noticed that there were an awful lot of people there, and they were so enthusiastic, and they'd all been part of the French club at one time or another, including Eileen Evans, who made her speech in French. But in fact, they didn't really seem to understand much French between them. So I thought that was quite interesting, because it was almost like a cultural thing rather than a language.
Yes, it's more, it's a cultural and language. We try to do both, you know. But for me, it's very good to see these different people from different nationality try to understand each other and to learn more about themselves also through the language.
Mm. Yes. So what do you think are some of the key differences between the way the French do things and the way people in New Zealand do things?
Oh, we have, of course, different way of thinking and do the thing, but we have also lots of things in common, yes, especially we love the nature also, and we are doing things with friends and like in New Zealand, yes.
Okay, and how long have you been here, Danielle?
It's 15 years now.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Right. And were there things that you were quite surprised by when you came to New Zealand? I mean, you must be quite used to living here now, but...
Oh, but first we came for the nature, the sea, not too many people, yes. This thing we miss in France now, yes.
And are there more and more French people living on Waiheke?
Or I think
is it
so.
Just
I think
that some
so.
People come, some people go?
Yes, some people come and go, especially the young ones. They come to learn English and to stay 1 year sometime. But no, we are a good number of people here. Yes, more and more, I think. Yes, maybe 50, 40 people live permanently on Waiheke.
Mm. So what have some of the highlights of the French club been? What are the events that you think, oh, that was amazing?
The amazing was maybe the trip in New Caledonia, where 18 people came together for 2 weeks, and it was really very good exchange between us. And Also, the market, of course, was a good thing for Waiki. And also, every meeting, every month, it's always something to learn and to share together. And for me, it's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, does each meeting have a theme? Or
Yes, we try to have a team. And for example, last week was about Burgundy, mm-hmm. because we are doing the Boeuf Bourguignon this month, so we try to see together the history, the geography, and the tourist also. The tourism on Burgundy.
Lovely. Yes. And you you talk about these things in English or in French?
No, we do in French, and my friend Julie translates, and everybody, we have this month two people who try to do a little thing in French also, which was a good practice for them. Yes.
Lovely. So that sounds really interesting. So I think sometimes people feel, oh, you know, it's the French club. I don't speak French and I'm a little bit shy, but I'm quite curious and I'm not going to know anyone. And all these people seem that they've been doing it for quite a long time. But presumably you're always looking for new people to come along and join?
Yes, so don't be shy. Come and, you know, you even if you don't speak a lot, it's good to be there, to listen the people who speak French and even the others who are speaking English. It's always something to learn, and it's a way of improving your French.
And hanging out with lots of different curious people and talking. So so your next meeting is
next meeting now, it's in June, and it's not very serious theme, this one. It's about les bébés du club.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's...
The babies in the club.
Yes, so it's with a photo of the baby of us when we were baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's Sally who is trying to do something funny for us in French about this.
Lovely. So so everyone's bringing in pictures of when they were children.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, we can... have question in French, in English, so it's a way of learning.
Okay. We used to I've heard of an activity in English language teaching where people bring in the pictures of their pets then people try and match the picture of the person with the picture of the pet, and you'd be surprised at how often people resemble their pets in some form or other. Anyway, okay, well, Danielle, congratulations on winning your award.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, these things always can only happen if there's someone driving force that gets people enthusiastic, you know, time after time and holds everything together administratively and has events, thinks up events that people can do and enjoy together. So congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much. But I have to say also that I can't do it by myself, you know, and it's because I had such a nice people around me and to help and to do what they want and what they can for me. It's why I'm still there and try to do something.
Lovely.
You're listening to Island Life, Waiheke People, Events and Issues, brought to you by Island, Art, Craft, Giftware, Clothing and Bric-a-Brac, Ocean View Road, Onirua.
Okay, good. So, Millie, hi, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Well, thanks for coming in. I understand you're moving house today.
I am. So I got to sneak away for a little while and do something else.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So the waste contract, there was a whole issue with that last year around Waiheke wanting to retain its waste contract with CleanStream, that was a local provider and had an amazing record in recycling and educating people around waste. And we lost that contract to TPI. And lots of people were very active in that. And I understand that the council, as a result, were awarded the Roger Awards. So can you explain a little bit about what that's all about?
I sure can. So what happened is there's an independent authority that... they take submissions for the Roger Award, which I'm not an expert on it, but my take on it is that it's about the selling off of local businesses off New Zealand to multinationals and foreign interests. So that's their concern. And so the whole TPI Clean Stream debacle was submitted, and it ended up that the Auckland City Council Community Development ended up getting an accomplice award for allowing allowing this to happen.
Right. Oh, okay. And so, what is the process for awarding this?
So it's basically awarded, and I'm not sure, you know, if there's a piece of paper. I think we're going to see what. But what happened out as a result of them receiving it is that the City Vision or some of the independent councillors at Auckland City Council, who were supportive of Waiheke, they tried to officially have it entered into the record at an Auckland City Council meeting. And of course, politics being what it is, and CNR having a majority, it was turned on its head, and it just ended up being more of the same. And so they just used it as a chance to re-enter into the record all of the lame arguments that they had given before, that people had a choice between bins and bags and things were so much better now. And so it kind of drowned out the whole intention of it.
So I think, you know, maybe a little bit of history of this is that one of the issues that that happens with Auckland City Council is the citizens and ratepayers vote as a block, CNR, and make it very difficult for logic to prevail often. So even though the City Vision councillors and some of the independents, I think, were initially quite sympathetic, in the end, a lot of the independents just voted with the citizens and ratepayers. And even though logic would suggest, and the Hauraki Gulf District plan,
and their own waste management policy.
Yes, and their own waste management policy suggested that they should support Clean Stream and recycle on island. That didn't happen.
Yes, and you know, it's certainly a lot. There are a lot of theories about why that happened, but the end result was that we pitched a great battle, and we didn't end up winning it, but. Actually, throughout the year, all across New Zealand, communities lost their waste management facilities that came out of the Towards Zero Waste movement. And so we're seeing, you know, some of the changes that are coming into play because of this change of government, so that the whole momentum towards zero waste in 2015 has really been kneecapped by, first of all, taking away the community initiatives, and then you know, starting to implement things like wheelie bins and these things that move us in the opposite direction, which is very distressing. But as a result of it, there were some positive things that came about. So a couple of those are that first of all, our term for the Onehunga waste pile outside of the sorting facility. Someone on Waiheke coined the phrase Mount Visi, and that name has stuck. Journalists, whenever they're writing an article about the MRF in Onehunga, refer to it as Mount Visi. So
where does the Visi come from?
The company, the multinational company that owns the processing plant,
right.
Is Visi.
Okay, good.
Another thing that came about is that it became so widely spread through the music video and the Campbell Live appearance, and it spotlighted the problems with local government consultation, and it is regularly cited in Parliament as an example of poor local government consultation. So although we didn't win the big battle, there have been some significant things raised from that. And furthermore, on the island, TPI meets with members of the Waiheke community to make sure that they're going to be able to uphold the standards that Waiheke has become used to in waste management. So they have come in promising the moon, and now they meet periodically with members of the community to make sure they can keep those promises.
So what kinds of promises are we talking about in terms of waste that need that the people in this group feel need to be maintained, and how well is that going?
Basically, their recovery rates and who they submit to, that they you need to have those recovery rates published. And so...
Okay. And so, because I know CleanStream had a lot of their stuff was recycled and sold on straight from Waiheke, wasn't it? It was baled and sold. And there was a whole system going with placemakers' trucks going back over to Auckland full of baled plastic and newspapers and cans ready for sale. What's happened to all of that?
So we have not had a meeting in the last few months. It's hard to say. One of the things that we did lobby for was that the Auckland City Council has to produce the numbers to the Waiheke Community Board on a quarterly basis, I believe. Mm. So what we discovered when I happened to sit in on one of the meetings is that there is no other community in New Zealand that meets with their waste management provider. So we, because of the fuss we raised, we were actually extended something that most communities don't get, which is at least that wedge in the door of a voice about what's happening.
Mm. Okay, great. And I think it's highlighted another issue, which is how can you possibly make money out of waste when you're a multinational corporation? I mean, obviously you can make money, but if the point is zero waste and that's a policy that you want, then really once you've succeeded, you've actually put yourself out of business. So it seems something that, as a concept, that's much more likely to be effective as a community supported initiative than as a corporate entity, where really the intention has to be that the more waste you put out, the more money you can make.
It is true. It's a bit of a shell game. Everyone talks about, you know, wanting good recovery rates, and yet, you know, as you say, the money isn't in that. And, you know, if you take a look back at the evolution of waste management, there has been, over time, a long process of trying to make waste profitable. And here, for a very short window of time, some things like international shipping and some other things have aligned to allow that to happen. But we're going to see that changing now that petrol becomes too expensive to transport waste. So really, anyone who was making a profit off of waste, it's a short time in the sun. And then other than that, communities are going to be responsible for their waste. Mm. And in a way, I mean, if we, you know, take a year on and looking at this as a gift, this is going to move us as a community toward zero waste. It would have been nice if we could have done it with our own community organization that was working towards that with us. And, you know, we had that support and a great feeling about it. But it doesn't mean that it's all going to stop. So at this point, what is in the works is an expanding of the toward zero waste movement, and we'll be looking at plastic bags, plastic bottles, you know, and start looking at some of these issues about waste generation on the island and what we're going to do. So that's in the future.
Mm. Okay, great. And you've linked up with other kinds of groups around New Zealand then who face similar issues? Because that seems to be a sort of a general policy that waste has been taken away from small operators and given to larger organizations to manage.
Yeah, I haven't personally done that, but the Waste Resource Trust is in touch with that network, so yes.
Lovely. Okay. Well, Millie, so tell us about this these Roger Awards. So it's all happening next Saturday at 2 o'clock. So
yes.
Tell us why that. What's happening.
So what we decided, you know, I don't know how many people read that article in the Marketplace, but it was quite obvious that just because of the political makeup of the city council, especially this city development group, that you weren't going to get a fair hearing for that. And so a group of people on Waiheke decided that actually the most appropriate thing to do would be to hold a ceremony here And so everyone pitched in, as they do here, and Artworks has opened the venue for 2 p.m. on the 22nd, which is next Saturday. And a lot of people have come forward with offers of help, and we'll have some refreshments. And we have a lineup of distinguished speakers and attendees. So the following people have agreed to come. We have David Clendon, a Green MP, and Jacinda Ardern, Labour MP. And we have Mike Lee of ARC. And then we have 3 ACC councillors who are coming to be on hand and, you know, in a way, accept the award. And so we'll have Kathy Casey and Denise, our own Denise Roach, and Richard Northey.
And so then, if you're wondering what this is accepting the Roger Awards for the Auckland City Council winning the award because of their management of the waste policy, of the waste contract on Waiheke Island. And they didn't want to pick up the award, and so we're organising our own festival ceremony on Waiheke Island next week.
So we'll make it fun, and we're also using it as a springboard because... this whole thing about multinationals coming in and buying up crucial community services, we're kind of only at the beginning of that process. Maybe it's just the tip of the iceberg. And so besides closing the chapter on the TPI tender mistake, it's also looking forward. And what does this mean to Waiheke and to New Zealand as a whole? And so... yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what some of the people who are coming have to say. I think we've got a great event lined up, and I hope people come out to the theater and show their support for this. Certainly all of the people who helped out during that year of going on protests and just all the work that was done certainly deserve to gather and just close this chapter in a positive way.
So is it a bring a plate event, or do you need a ticket, or you're just saying everyone who's interested show up at Artworks?
It's open to the public, and we'll be serving some refreshments, just some little nibbles. So nothing big, but not a shared plate.
Okay, lovely, good. I mean, I thought what was really interesting about that is how many different people from different parts of the Waiheke community came out and, you know, kind of took up the gauntlet at different times and then seemed to get burnout and went and did something else, and then someone else would say, no, I'm appalled as well, I'm going to say something. Yeah.
What I heard more than once were people saying, I've never been political before, and this has hit me where it really matters, and I'm finding myself out doing things that I never expected to be doing, because we had maybe taken it for granted that something positive and good would just keep going. How could it not? Mm. And so to have that taken away was really quite a blow.
Mm. And so, Millie, can you tell us a bit about Our Auckland? There was a referendum, which I think closed yesterday.
It did.
And the point of that was just that Aucklanders haven't really had a say on what we want for the super city and if we want this model for our super city.
Yes. So I think it was last week I was talking with Chris about it, and what's happened now is that the votes have gone in. I think a lot of people voted online, and then other people brought their ballots into the library and the council offices and some other locations. And so what we'll find out on the 20th is you know, what the people had to say about whether they want things to proceed as they are.
Lovely. Okay, great. And when will the results of that be out?
On the 20th.
On the 20th. Okay, sorry. Great. Okay, well, thanks very much, Millie, for coming in, and come to the Roger Awards next Saturday at 2. I think it'll be quite a lively event, and there'll be an opportunity to listen to some quite interesting speakers.
Absolutely.
I wonder if you might be able to even catch Mike Lee on the Bellbirds as well, which is... sounds like it might be quite interesting, as well as all the waste stuff. And of course, Jacinda Ardern, who's the Labour MP for Auckland's... she'd be standing for Auckland Central at the next election, but she's got a private member's bill on mining that she would like to get through, and protecting the areas of conservation land. So she'd also be quite an interesting person to talk to. Right. Well, I'm very lucky to have Graham Hooper in with me today because he's got a little bit of inside information on Tenement Yard, and they're playing tonight at the Rocks, and I have another free ticket. I have one free ticket left for Tenement Yard who are playing tonight. So, Graham, would you like to tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, well, they've been here twice before. They played one at the Bullshed a couple of years ago. Exactly 1 year ago, they played at the Rocks on the 16th of May last year, so it's the 15th this year. And the good thing about tonight is a brand new stage being built down at the Rocks, so it's the first time it's going to be used tonight.
Oh, okay. Is it in the same place as the old stage?
No, it's at the other end of the room. Okay. Where all the TV sets were for the TAB area, that's been moved out of there, and the new stage has gone in there.
Right, so all that TAB stuff is gone?
It's been moved to another part of the building, but it won't be on full display tonight. That's the whole idea of putting the stage down the far end.
Oh, lovely, because I think that's one of the things that sort of holds the Rocks back as a venue, is those sort of, those TAB stuff and the screens, and it's all a bit dreary.
That's right, yeah. Well, that's why I've been working on the idea for over a year now with Maxwell, and finally got it happening on Wednesday night, so it's good.
Oh, that's fabulous, great, good. And, right, so tell us about Tenement Yard.
Mm-hmm. Well, originally it was a four-piece band, three Niuean brothers and a cousin. One of the guys went to England, so they had to replace him. They've got a Samoan drummer now. And with the Samoan drummer came a Fijian keyboard player who happens to be a Waiheke Islander.
Oh, okay.
Ben Finau plays in the local Sea Link rugby seniors team.
Right.
And they've been doing very well in the last couple of games they've had. Playing again this afternoon at 2:45 at the Onehunga Sports Park.
Right. Oh, okay, great. So is this a dance evening?
Yeah, well, the one thing about Tenement Yard is not boring, basic reggae. They do a bit of rock music, sort of blended into it. Quite upbeat reggae. And the Hauraki Viente Norte guys are on as well earlier in the evening. They're on at about 9 o'clock. And it's probably one of their last shows on the island is Hauraki Viente Norte because they're moving on to the South Island. But two of the guys from Argentina, one from Uruguay, and, of course, Namanaki from Waiheke.
Lovely. Great. So that's on tonight. I still have one free ticket. And I think the studio closes at 12. So if you want to get that, you're going to have to race in here pretty quickly to get it. And we just got one track to play from them. So this is the Tenement Yard. And this track is the Prophet.
Track three. Yep.
And is this off an album or was this recorded at a gig?
This is coming up. They've been reworking their album there, so that's going to be coming up in, sometime this year. I hope they have an album release.
Right. Yep. Okay, great.
Right.
She says, what visions do you declare? She stands by the fountain. Morning of the day when plates were manifest. How can we trust your word? Yours a voice from afar. We don't want to listen to your stories. We've heard it before. And so shall it be.
So shall it be.
Everyone is crying out.
Yeah.
A warning has been given. And who can explain? And so shall it be.
So shall it be.
Everyone is crying out.
Oh.
A warning has been given. And who can explain but the prophet?
About your life,
and so shall it be.
can explain but the prophet. And so shall it be.
So shall it be.
Everyone is crying out. A warning has been given. And who can explain but the prophet?
So, well, tell us about the Rocks as a venue, because that's kind of come up in the last year. I don't remember it being a particularly pleasant place to go, and now it's kind of gradually the Sunday Jam is getting a bit of a name for itself. There are other bands playing there. Have you had something to do with that? Or?
Yeah, well, the first thing that came up was Hands on Fire, American group that came out, and I got a phone call out of the blue saying, you know, the band's coming to New Zealand. We'd like to do the first show at Waikiki Island. And of course the band thought that they were flying to New Zealand for having a day off, forgot about the international dateline, and realised when they arrived it was the day they left.
Oh no.
They'd lost a day on their way over.
Oh,
flying
no.
across the dateline. So they actually played the night that they arrived. So suffering from jet lag, they still did it.
Oh, good on them.
But that was the first show, and we had to put up a temporary stage, and I mean hassling Maxwell and other Yuki down there to get a decent stage built. So it's taken a year, and it's finally happened on last Wednesday.
Great. So has the stage been tried out, or is this going to be
tonight's going to be the first show on the new stage?
Right.
So it's going to be quite exciting to see how it works.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds fabulous. Lots of reggae happening this weekend, and other bits and pieces that are happening. There's do you know anything else that might be happening? There's the usual, the movies and bits and pieces, but
yeah,
I'm just wondering about
Shona
other
Lang
events.
Coming up.
There's what, sorry?
Shona Lang coming up at Artworks later in the month.
Oh, okay.
Shona
yep.
Lang with Monique Rhodes.
Yep.
And Carsten Blutner, who's the chef at Casitamiro, is the drummer in Mother Tongue.
Right.
And they're doing a farewell show for him at the end of the month, either the Friday 28th or Saturday 29th. And the last show they did at the Rocks, I just couldn't believe it was the same band I'd known for all these years, because they just pulled out all the stops and they went over the top. But amazing band. I mean,
yeah, they've got some quite talented people in that band, haven't they?
Well, Craig and Liana. Craig works at BP Oliroa, and Liana works with Placemakers. And they've been together for years, but they started off as a duo, and now they've gone to the element of their heavy metal or rock.
Right.
Okay, great. You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. Island Life is brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, and the interviews are replayed on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. They're also available as a download from our website www.waihekeradio.org.nz. Island Life is brought to you by Island, the shop with Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local art, craft, giftware, clothing and bric-a-brac. Island, Ocean View Road, Onirola.